This is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24-7 home of the black and gold. SNR. Steelers Nation Radio.
The Drive, I believe Steeler Nation's most popular podcast.
I would hope so.
I would hope so. I'm Dale Lally
here. Growing by the minute.
Yeah, with Matt Williamson, when people can hear it.
Sometimes there's issues with that.
Sometimes, but hopefully you're all hearing us here. We are live today in the SNR studio on Green Tree Hill. Camp starts this week.
Yeah, it's right around the corner here. I'm pretty psyched up. You know, I mean, obviously Steelers and Cowboys are first. Hall of Fame game. Hall of Fame game soon. I mean, to me, that's almost more startling than camp starting.
Just over 2 weeks.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be a game in pads hitting each other. And you're not going to see all the stars in that one, but there's tons of players I can't wait to watch.
Yeah. I mean, there's going to be a lot of young guys playing in those games. I would imagine you're going to get to see a lot of Dwayne Haskins in that game.
Yeah, absolutely. The quarterbacks are going to be fun this preseason. Yeah. I mean, even Dobbs. You know, I mean, it's not like there's not a throwaway guy.
There isn't. I mean, they're all guys with NFL experience. Mm-hmm. Which won't be the case in a lot of camps around.
Absolutely.
We went over that a few weeks ago. Some of the backup quarterback situations in the league, and it's not
pretty.
There's
some teams that would kill for some guys with some NFL experience, obviously. Yeah. But no, I think all four guys should be able to look capable. You know, I mean, they're not going to have great supporting casts every snap of the preseason, but they should know where to go with the football, and they have traits, and, you know, I think they'll be fun to watch. It'll be one of the best things about the preseason.
Yeah, it should be interesting. Certainly a lot of good camp battles to that we'll talk about. Maybe Wednesday's show we'll do a little bit more of that.
Yeah, maybe that could be a good preview time.
But as we get closer to this, the Steelers today, according to multiple reports, hosting Melvin Ingram. Kicking the tires on him. He's a guy coming off of a major knee injury last year that put him on IR twice. Didn't have a sack in seven games. Had 10 tackles in seven games.
Yeah. Very good career.
Yeah.
He has visited other teams, which makes you wonder about medical as well as what is he asking contract-wise. I mean, you and I were talking off the air, and you mentioned he was making $14 million last year.
He had a $14 million base salary last year and held out because he wanted more.
And that was just 1 year ago.
Yeah.
And then he had a rough year. I think he's still a very good player and would be very useful in a rotation. I don't think you would, plug him in as the starter every down guy on the right side. I think it'd be more of a move him around a little bit. In that he has a history, despite only being, 250, 255, whatever he is, he's been productive from a defensive tackle alignment on throwing downs, too. And, the Steelers have some interior guys that don't
this
need
just
help.
In from Ian Rappaport, the Steelers are signing.
Ah, look at that. On the news. Breaking
Melvin
news
Ingram.
Here.
Breaking news.
I like it.
Yeah.
I preferred him to Houston, who they'd also been kind of, Justin Houston, who they'd also been rumored to be kicking the tires on. So, as I was saying, I mean, he's a high-quality third guy. I think he's a high-quality two, which doesn't mean that, the young pup all of a sudden is the three. I just think you keep that a rotation going. And with all respect to TJ, as much as he, as great as he is, he doesn't play every snap of every game.
I get it. It's a position that you needed some
some depth. More juice, right.
You keep a strength of strength.
Oh, I 100%.
I mean, they've
so.
Led the league in sacks each of the last 4 years.
It's been very successful.
There's a good chance they're going to lead in the league in sacks for a fifth straight year.
This sure helps. Yeah. I mean, and I think he'll play plenty even without injuries. There's a lot of injury protection built in there, too. I mean, your edge guys were unproven besides the top two. I don't think by any stretch this is a knock on Hightower, though.
No, I know.
I don't take it that way at all.
I don't think so. I think they're just looking at the big picture here and saying, okay, you got to do something here. I probably would have waited unless he had, another offer on the table.
Maybe.
that was out there, just for the fact that what we talked about before that, okay, you spend some of that money on him. I don't know what the contract is
now. News just broke, obviously,
But you spent some of what you had available.
Mm-hmm.
Now what happens if a cornerback goes down? You need to go get a cornerback or
a Joe Hayden gets cut.
Yeah.
You know, around the league too.
I mean,
you still have some flexibility though.
Yeah.
And they could even restructure a guy if they had to, but I'm
sure
that's what they
could
want
that,
to
yeah.
do. I assume it's a one-year deal. I mean, I guess it's a possibility that it's a two-year deal, but your doctors had to sign off on it. So I'm sure he's over the knee injury, and maybe that was a sticking point of why he didn't sign earlier. But in terms of usage, if he plays 40% of the snaps, you know, assuming everyone around him stays mostly healthy, including some on the interior, and you hate to take Cam and Tuitt off the field, but you can't play him every snap either.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, on 3rd and 8, he could go inside with Hightower and Watt outside him, like a NASCAR type package. So I like it. He's dropped into coverage at times. Not going to do a lot of that.
Yeah, not the way that the Steelers asked their guys.
No,
more of a straight edge.
Yeah, a leverage type guy. He's not super tall and long, but he's a really good leverage player. He's a fluid athlete. Good combine guy. I mean, he's a great pedigree. I mean, and even healthy last year, he was a good football player. I mean, it's not a Jason Oway zero sack type of
season. They were paying he counted $16 million against the Chargers' salary cap last year.
Yeah, right. I mean, he's a star.
Yeah. You know? He's been to a couple of Pro Bowls. You know, he's done some stuff in the league. So, interesting signing.
It is. I like it.
You know, you wonder.
You got to think that defensive front now is as good as any in the league, if it wasn't already.
Yeah, and again, I think you're keeping a strength here.
Uh-huh.
Does this change?
I don't know how much special teams he'll play, but
you have Highsmith available to do some of it. That was the question I had. Okay, you want your backup linebackers to be able to play special teams.
Right.
Well, now do you say, okay, well, we're going to – Alex, you're the starter,
uh-huh,
in quotations, and maybe you're going to play 60% of the snaps, but –
You still want to run down on kickoffs. Because you're good at it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that helps in that regard, too. Yeah, so I guess it's not the best news for Marsh and those type of dudes. I mean, there's one less roster spot to fight for, but that's fine. I mean, some of those guys are also practice squad eligible. No, it makes a lot of sense to me. I'm excited, actually, to go back and watch more of his tape from a year ago, because I remember him being pretty darn good still. I mean, just injuries have derailed him, and he's had injuries throughout his career, too.
Yeah, but I believe he's one sack short. I'm calling up his stats. Or one sack short of 50 in his career.
Okay.
That sounds
about right. I mean, he came in the league 8 years ago, 7 years ago, something like that?
Yeah, yeah. He came in. His first season was 2012, actually. He was he's 30. He was 31 last year. He'll be 32 this year.
Okay.
49 career sacks. He's had a couple of double-digit sack years.
He's had some big years.
But from 2015 through 2019, 10.5, 8, 10.5, 7.7.
Okay.
There was at one point where he and Bosa were considered the top edge duo in the league.
And even before Bosa, it wasn't like – he became Robin. Well, Bosa's the better player.
Yeah.
So he became Robin when Bosa arrived as Batman, as a top five pick. But Ingram stood on his own well before that. I mean, he was a star in the making, and then they got a stud on the other side, and they were a lethal combination. I mean, it was a good group for sure.
Yeah. So it's going to be interesting. We'll see how this works out. But certainly alleviates one of the issues that – You looked at and said, okay, who's the number three? Or where's your outside linebacker depth?
I mean, heaven forbid, TJ would get hurt. But you could withstand it now.
Now you've got a better chance,
You got a shot.
This goes to, when a lot of people say, well, the Steelers lost Bud Dupree.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to be as good this year because they lost Bud Dupree.
Well, I'm not sure who's the better player, Dupree or Ingram.
It's questionable. I think
I'd rather have Bud.
I'd rather have Bud right now.
Yeah.
But over the course of
in age, but
yeah, over the course
salary.
Of their careers, and what you're gonna, we'll see what they ask Ingram to do. Again, you're coming in to play Robin. You're not coming in to play Batman.
No,
Tennessee signed Bud Dupree to be Batman
and for big money.
That's like bringing George Clooney in. You know,
right? It's a totally different world. I mean, you wait and you get the guy at your cost. I assume we have not seen the contract. But again, no, I think this is a good move. And again, you said this several times, keeping a strength of strength, I think, is really important here, in that if the pass rush were to take a noticeable step backwards, this season could go haywire a little bit. I mean, that's been the constant.
And that's the thing. That's you don't see that happening. I didn't see it happening regardless.
No, I didn't either.
They still have quality pass rushers up front.
Big time. There's
too many to afford to fall off.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a bad season for them in the sack categories would have been them finishing fifth in sacks.
Unless catastrophic injuries.
Right, right.
But even Tyson Alualu pushes the pocket a little bit. And
they scheme things up.
Yeah, and they're not going to stop blitzing. So they're going to get after quarterbacks.
The other thing that this does, one of the reasons why they could, I think, afford to maybe let Steven Nelson go was the fact that they know they have that pass rush.
Without question. To kind of tease it, we're having Aaron Schatz on from Football Outsiders here today. And I don't know if we'll get to it, but I definitely want to ask him his thoughts on the value of coverage versus pass rush, because a lot of the analytics people believe coverage is more important. I'm not convinced. I mean, I just think that there's great value in having great players on the line of scrimmage that are several feet away from the quarterback, that impact the game is in the run game as well. And I think the Steelers absolutely are in that corner. You know, I mean, like, they're not going to let the front fall apart, and that's for sure. And they're going to keep investing in it and keep investing in it.
Yeah, so it's interesting that – and we'll have to ask Aaron about this.
Just curious what their thoughts are on it, you know.
Yeah.
But, no, I like the signing quite a bit. And I was kind of hoping they would do it but yeah, we'll see.
Yeah. So a little breaking news. I'm actually kind of surprised that they, you know, a lot of times when the Steelers do bring in a veteran free agent, they will try to get him signed that day.
Mm-hmm.
But we've seen some other guys come in. Malik Hooker comes to mind.
Yeah, there's been a few that
guys
come in
that
and
are,
you kick
guys
the tires
are coming
on
off
medically.
Of injuries.
Medical,
you,
yeah.
You want to check out the medicals and, mm-hmm. and, you know, maybe something checks out, maybe it doesn't. You don't know. And,
yeah.
and for a guy like this in a situation like this, as you mentioned, he held out last year with a $14 million salary.
Yeah. The Chargers also aren't the easiest team to deal with. You know, like Bosa held out as a rookie,
yeah.
and, you know, they don't have the greatest track record of doing deals smoothly or like other teams. Yeah, not to, you know, everyone, good for him. He held out and get everything he possibly can. He's good versus the run. He's not probably going to be asked to do a ton of that. He obviously has a lot of experience setting the edge. And again, he's a stronger, shorter leverage player. He can drop into coverage, but he's here to rush the passer. I mean, and I think he could do it probably from the left, the right, and on the interior, all up and down the line.
Well, you know, that's the thing. The Steelers also drafted Quincy Roche in the sixth round this year. You wonder what that means for him. You're going to keep four,
maybe five.
You know,
But Roche could end up in the practice.
Depending on special teams. And, of course, again, Ingram's not going to give you any special teams.
You didn't get a special teams.
No.
Well, you got a small special teams boost.
Yeah.
But not much, you know. Marsh is going to have to make the team
as a great special teams.
He's going to have to
kind of been his
without question. I mean, you know it's better than I do, but I would say they probably keep four core special teamers, that maybe five, that are on every phase that Danny Smith can count on, that, hey, they're not going to get cut in week six because we need a running back or something like that. So Marsh will have to be one of those guys. I mean, so he'll be fighting fullbacks and backup receivers and linebackers and things like that to be a core special teamer.
Yeah. You know, it's an interesting move. We'll see how this works out. We'll see what the money comes in at. But the Steelers had $13 million going into this signing, according to SpotTrack. So they had a little cash to play with. I don't want to say concerned. But here's the thing. Kevin Colbert always likes to go into a season with enough money available to be able to make 10 moves over the course of a season.
Okay, yeah.
That's what their analytics tell them. The average season, you're going to make 10 roster
10
moves.
Some smaller than others, some are bigger, you know.
So the thing is that the average salaries have gone up because of the new CBA.
Right.
So
didn't help you that much.
You know, wanted to go into an offseason a few years ago. It was $3 million.
Mm-hmm.
And then it jumped up to $5 million because, you know, the salaries are more. Well, now you probably want to go into the regular season with $6 million or so.
That makes sense. And it's also an extra game.
You know,
one more week that you need to make a move. So, yeah, I mean, they're fortunate they have it. I'm curious, again, I assume it's going to be a one-year deal, but if it's a two-year deal, it certainly takes, you know, outside linebacker out of the equation for off-season needs. I was just doing a little snooping around, and you and I can both take or leave Pro Football Focus, but they did have something about Ingram. They wrote an article when free agency opened saying, here's a handful of guys that could be misvalued based on their sack totals last year, and because he had zero. And Ingram's the poster boy. You know, I mean, they said he had 219 pass rushing snaps last year, which is a low number because he got injured. You know. But he had 28 pressures on 219 snaps. Now, I'm not sure exactly who's defining the pressure, but he didn't disappear by any means. When he was healthy, he was affecting the football game at a high percentage of the time. I mean, that's a high percentage of pressures on pass rush snaps, and some of those are on first and 10. They're not all third and 8, you know. So, and the tape shows that. I mean, he's a good player.
Yeah. So, interesting move.
Yeah, it is. It kind of caught us off track here. We were talking about, you know, we were playing on just kind of chatting about, yeah, Ingram would be kind of an interesting guy to kick the tires on, and boom, it happens while we're live.
Yeah. It doesn't often happen like that, but that's the way it worked out today. Does this change anything on your overall outlook for the Steelers this year?
I mean, little things like I'm moving the fantasy defense up a little bit. I think they might be the best pass rushing team in the league, where I thought Washington might steal that off them this year. Again, no offense to Bud, Ingram might be a better pass rusher right now. I mean, I think their pass rush – front five, well, even including the blitzing linebackers, Bush and Williams in particular, really has a chance to be better than last year. You know, we've talked about this a week or two ago. What if Tua takes a little step forward? You know, I mean, you're not counting on the youngster, you know, but even if he can, looks like he can continue to beat one-on-one blocks, you've got three interior and three outside guys that are all high-quality players. You know, you're seeing these lists on Pro Football Focus and ESPN, best players at their position. And a couple of them have mentioned Alualu. You know, you're going to have five of those guys that are listed, including a young guy that looks like an up-and-comer that they have a lot of faith in.
Yeah.
So I like it.
Yeah. Interesting development.
Mm-hmm.
One that, you know, I'll be interested now to see. You know, I just wrote about their secondary yesterday, on DKPittsburghSports.com, about the depth of the position, and I think they've got a lot of different pieces in the secondary. Some of them a lot of them are unproven.
A lot of names that everyone out there listening isn't doing jumping jacks.
And
about,
I think nationally they're maybe not recognized as recognizable.
Sure.
But I felt a little, you know, after taking a good hard look at that, I felt better about their safety depth.
Really?
Than I think a lot of fans do.
Are you counting Killebrew in that mix, or
yes,
are you calling him more of a linebacker?
No, Killebrew's, they look at Killebrew as a safety.
Okay.
So you got Killebrew, you got Brooks, who they like.
Brooks is the guy to
Millett
me that
plays safety.
In. Okay.
And so does Trey Norwood was playing a lot of safety at training camp.
Was he? I guess in today's modern day NFL,
you got four bodies there, including a couple that have, you know, played a lot of NFL snaps in Millett and Killebrew.
What do you know about Millett? You know, what are your thoughts on him? I mean, I know he's not guaranteed a roster spot, but he's not a huge name, but he's been in the league.
He's played snaps, and he gives you some flexibility. You know, he plays a slot.
I'd say he's also got slot
capabilities.
He can go
back and play deep.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's some flexibility there that I don't know that. You're not going to have stars everywhere.
No, you're not.
And you've got two first-round picks invested in that in that position.
I think
so you're not going to go out and spend big money at that position when you're already paying your safeties big money.
Right. And I think that sort of overlaps to the corner situation, too. Hayden's making decent money. You brought back Sutton, telling him he's a starter, you know. And I feel like the non-brand-name guys at corner – slot in particular at corner, and then those safeties you mentioned, instead of saying we're going to go get big name players that are big contracts, they have a lot of guys to fight for, you know, the two dogs, one bone Tomlinism or whatever, you know, that these guys will battle it out. And there's a lot of versatility in that group, too, which I think is interesting. I mean, Killebrew's nothing like Brooks or nothing like Millett or, you know, I mean, he's the center where those guys are the power forward. You know what I mean? Like, there's a variety of different defensive backs there, and they like to play with a lot of them on the field. So Brooks is the one. I don't think this is a big secret or something we can't mention now, but I think they have plans for him. I mean, he may be the starting slot. So I didn't see him that way when they drafted him or even consider that before.
Yeah. So, you know, I, they got a couple of young guys that, mm-hmm. that they want to look at in there as well. That, again, Norwood can play in there. They brought in the kid from Michigan State.
Right, absolutely. Yeah. Right.
So, again, there's options there. And you still have Pierre and Lane on the outside.
Right.
Well, I think they're pretty confident in those two guys.
It sure seems
that way.
Seems
to me like they're looking for somebody when we go to the dime package,
mm-hmm.
who can be that other slot cornerback opposite?
They want to find a Hilton. Yeah. They want to find, you know.
And you can't have just one.
And you can't just have one, right.
You better have, that's what Millett was last year for the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
He was their number two slot guy.
Yeah. And even slots and safeties are blurring anymore.
Mike Tomlin talked about that at training camp or at the mini camp, I should say, how the slot cornerback position and the nickel position, you better be tough.
Hilton's tough.
Mike Hilton above everything else was tough as nails.
Right.
Was he a great cover guy? No.
No, no.
But he had a specific skill set that played very nicely in the slot, his blitzing ability, his ability to play the run.
No, he fit in well.
Yeah.
Attitude-wise, and right.
It didn't matter. He didn't care if he was matched up against Travis Kelce,
mm-hmm.
in the slot. He was going to battle him.
Right.
You know, that's what you need there. That's why they're looking at a guy like Brooks.
As I say, I mean, that's why. I mean, you see some bigger name guys, the Tyrann Mathews, the Buda Bakers. You know, you could call them a safety, and sure, they could play too high or even single high at times. But mostly they're around the line of scrimmage, sometimes in man coverage against – you know, the other thing people don't think about with that, because usually the linebacker's job. But some of those dudes are going to get man coverage against Joe Mixon or Kareem Hunt or, you know, guys like that too. And I often talk about, you know, slot receivers – they don't get bumped out of bounds by little defensive backs. They get smashed by linebackers and linemen. Well, corners the same way. I mean, which would worry me a little. I'm not bashing Hilton. But if I'm the Bengals, counting on him for a couple years would worry me at his size because he is so aggressive, and those are his great strengths. But I don't blame the Steelers for not investing in him because, you know, Kevin Zeitler pulls around right at you. You got to take that guy on.
Yeah, right. That's part of your job.
Right, right. It's a rough gig.
It very well is. And
I can't think of many slots that have really lasted the test of time.
You got some guy like – well, I think like a guy like Marlon Humphrey,
mm-hmm.
is very good in the slot. But he's an outside cornerback.
He did it because what's-his-face got hurt.
Right.
And they have
other
really good
outside. Their original plan,
guy.
Though, was to play the kid from was it Temple?
Yeah. I mean, Young got hurt.
He can't stay healthy.
Right, right. And
because
Humphrey did really
small,
well.
Because he's a small cornerback, he wanted to put in the
point.
Slot. Yeah.
Right, right, right. So the fact that Humphrey can do it and excelled in it is wonderful, but I bet you they would love for him to be outside much more than in, you know.
I don't know with him, though, because he's a guy you like to have around the ball all
mm-hmm.
the time.
If he's really good at stripping.
He's good at stripping the ball. He's a good, solid tackler.
You know Peter's never going to go inside.
Minka Fitzpatrick has some of those.
He does. That's always a dilemma in my head.
Yeah.
Like, because, boy, I always call it the goalie, you know, that deep free safety is such a relief to the other players on the field, and he's so good at taking the ball away from there. You know, I think there's a strong argument, like, why flirt with that? He's so good at it. But, man, I often think if he could play seven snaps where the defense does or the offense doesn't know it's coming, he walks down and plays man coverage on Mark Andrews. You know what I mean?
And he did.
And it's not that he doesn't do it.
He
ever,
did it. He played about 100 snaps in a slot last year.
Okay.
Now, that
sometimes
depends.
There's two slots.
Yeah,
so, you
it
know,
depends
right.
on what you're considering the slot. He, mm-hmm. he may walk down. But again, to your point, you like him in that deep safety spot.
There's nobody can do it better.
Yeah.
You know, it's
but it's nice to be able to have that kind of flexibility every once in a while.
Sure.
To, you know, maybe you're playing a team with, you know, maybe you're playing against Travis Kelce.
Mm-hmm. And not to mention, Minka's in the long-term plans. I mean, yeah. In the next 5 years, they may stumble upon a free safety type in the third round that's also really good in the deep middle. And then you have, you know, like a Bills interchangeable safety situation. Who knows? You know, I mean, just the fact that it's in his bag of tricks, in his toolbox, is really important. And that was one of the beauties of him coming out of Alabama, obviously, too.
Yeah. And that's how the
defense
is
in pretty good shape all of a sudden. You know, where's the holes? I mean, I think there's some questions. How does the linebacker rotation work? And
see, I think they're better off at inside linebacker, than a lot of fans.
I think you get by.
Yeah.
I mean,
you got guys who got a lot of valuable experience last year. Are they going to get hit? You know, as long as Devin Bush stays healthy.
Exactly.
You're fine at inside linebacker.
You're fine. I mean, I'm not bashing on these guys, but if Spillane or Vince Williams is your worst player in your 11 out there, you're okay.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like they can't make plays. I'm sure people will target them more often. You know, they'll game plan to go after those guys. That's fine. You're not going to lose a game because Vince Williams is in coverage too much.
Right.
I mean, okay, it's not ideal, but you'll scheme
it up so that doesn't happen.
And he's going to blitz sometimes too, and play the run. And, you know, so I don't see that as a big problem. Not to mention, you know, Johnson and Gilbert, maybe something. You know, just to brush them off like they're not going to be contributors this year, I think is unfair, as well as the Brookses and, you know, secondary depth. You know, I keep coming back to Killebrew too, because I haven't talked about him hardly at all, but he's sort of all the above. I mean, I bet he plays a fair amount.
Yeah.
And he'll hit you, and, you know,
they'll figure out ways to use him once he's up to speed. And, and you know, that's all part of this. And you actually have preseason games to check this stuff out.
It's actually about the last thing I was about to say was, you know.
You get to see Ulysses Gilbert on the field.
Yeah,
you get to
right.
see some of these guys. They're creating competition across the board with every move that they make. I mean, you know, does Buddy Johnson push Marcus Allen off the roster? Marcus Allen played a lot of snaps last year.
Like, well over
more so than
right.
I think anybody would have liked.
Right. I think Killebrew's the guy that Marcus Allen needs to worry about. There's a direct shot at him. But even so much will change, too. I mean, having that fifth preseason game could shake out, help a lot. Unfortunately, one or two of those guys might get hurt because they're going to play a lot in the preseason. But then maybe you put them on PUP for a little bit and you get to think about them down the road. I'm sure they have a plan now that's very subject to change, that we want Buddy Johnson to play 45% of the snaps. We want Gilbert to play, you know, and as they earn more and more playing time by their practice and game reps, I mean, I think that might change dramatically. By that final preseason game, we may have a real clear feel of who they really like, and it might not even be a name we've mentioned yet. You know, they got some other dudes floating around.
Yeah, I agree. So they'll be, yeah, they could make other moves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people forget that, again, you got Joe Hayden
at
the end of training
Perfect
camp.
Perfect example, right.
They signed Alejandro Villanueva at the end of a training camp.
Yeah, I didn't even think of that, right.
You know, there's guys that, you know, Mike Hilton was a mid-season signing.
Just, yeah, yeah.
You know, things happen.
They have their eyes on a lot of players outside the organization still. And some of them are going to get cut, or, you know, you can throw them on your practice squad. Or
that's a nice thing this year with
the trade,
with preseason games.
Yeah, right.
You know, you're going to actually get to see some of these. You know, maybe that 6th-round draft pick doesn't work out mm-hmm. in that place. Well, you bring him in here, and
it's not super uncommon even to see player for player trades either. You know, like let's say Dobbs shows pretty well, and the team needs a 2 or 3 quarterback, and they give you, I don't know, a young player that they don't have a spot for that you like. I mean, there's going to be another name or two still added from outside the organization.
Yeah, I think so as well.
But I mean, hopefully they luck into a Hayden-type situation, but that's kind of rare.
Yeah, that is.
That's a gift.
Very rare. That was a gift from a team in your own division just giving you.
Hand you a starter.
Not just a starter, but a guy who's made the Pro Bowl.
Right, right. He was one of their best players at the time, too, the Browns. It made no sense at all.
Yeah.
But, you know. But no, big news, I guess. I mean, in the Steelers' patience, I think, pay off, as opposed to getting an outside linebacker similar or even Ingram 2 months ago. You know, they've been a lot costlier.
Yeah, right. That's going to do it for this segment. So for my partner, Matt Williamson, for Jacob Recht here on site, I'm Dale Lally. We thank you for listening to this edition of The Drive on Steelers Nation Radio.